Today's Shir's Masechta Bava Kama Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin on Daf Ayin Vav Amar Aleph at the top of the Amid, the top line. Gone for Higdish Vach Kach Tav V'Chamachar. The Mishnah spoke about an animal stalling, being stolen, then being Magdish, and then they were slaughtered or sold it. When we learned this on Daf Samaches Amar Beis, the Gemara quoted a Machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish how to understand this Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah is speaking about that the Ganef was Magdish the Shor, and then he did Tficha Mechira. And the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, refers to a situation that the owners had been Miyash from this animal, and since the owners had been Miyash from this animal, therefore the Hegdish is a valid Hegdish, because if had they not been Miyash, then the Hegdish cannot be effective, because the halacha, as we had learned in that sugya, was ain't on the magdish. A person does not have the ability to be magdish dover sheni shaloi, something which is not here. And we learned that even though the bialim were miyash, the halacha would be that if he was teveich or meichrit before the hegdish, he would be chayiv, because yish alone cannot affect a kinyan. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish held that Yish alone can affect the Kenyan. And therefore, Rabbi Shlokish explained that the case here was that there was no Yish yet. And therefore, the Ganef will be Chayv on the Tficha. And according to this, it isn't the Ganef that was Magdashit, because a Ganef cannot be Magdash a Chayfetz, a prop object that's not his. Mishnah speaking about a case that the owners were magdashit after the Geneva, and after the owners were magdashit, the Ganef did Tvicha or Mechira. So most Rishonim are of the opinion that our Gemara that we're about to begin learning in explanation of that case of the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who holds it was the Ganef that was magdashit. And that will be, and then the question that we're about to learn in the Gemara will be very understandable. There are those Rishonim and Achronim that attempt to say that we could explain that the Mishnah's, this Gemara's discussion is going according to Rish Lakish, but as we just said, that is not the opinion of most Rishonim. Most Rishonim have this Gemara going according to, being taught according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's the way we're going to learn it. Says the Gemara, it's understandable, according to this explanation, why the Mishnah said that if the Ganef did Tficha, loy mechayif, he will not be held responsible. The ki katovach, because at the time that he did the Shechita, the Hegdish katovach, he was doing Shechita on something that belongs to Hegdish, v'loy demari katovach, he wasn't doing it on something that belongs to the owner anymore. And since he wasn't doing tficha on something that belongs to the owner, that's why you don't have to pay the dal of a hay to the owner. Because as we just said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, since the hegdish that the ganef placed here was a valid hegdish, so obviously there was yush bailim. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan, we just said, explained, coupled with the fact that he shechted the animal. So we have here a combination of Yush and Shini Rishus, and we learned, if that's the case, certainly at the time of the Tvicha, the animal did not belong to the owner. The animal at that point belonged to Hegdish, and therefore the owner will not receive the Dal V'Hei. But ask the Gemara, Al-Hegdish L'Chayev, why is on the fact that he was Magdish the Shor? And he took the Shor out of the property of the ownership of the owner and brought it to the ownership of the Hegdish. Why shouldn't be Chayev Dal V'Hei? Why should being Magdish the animal, which we're saying now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Hegdish that the Ganef does is a valid Hegdish, so why should that not be a reason that he should have to pay Dal V'Hei? Because ask the Gemara, Mali Machla Hegit, if he would have sold it to a private individual, it would be very understandable to us that he's chayv dal vehei. So ask the Gemara, mali machal lehedyot, mali machal shemayim. Why should the halacha differentiate to who he sold it to? The halacha is that if you sell something or you magna something, you're essentially accomplishing the same, and therefore it should be chayv dal vehei. The achronim do ask a question. When you sell something, so the transaction is final. When you magna something, there's always an opportunity to reverse that. The way to reverse that is being shoyl on the hegdish. So why does the Gemara not answer that hegdish should not be compared to selling? So the achronim answer, there are certain situations of hegdish that cannot be reversed with shayla. One such an example, if you make something hegdish through a tamura. The halacha is if you magdish something through a tamura, it's not reversible. And therefore, the Gemara could not have offered that teretz. Answers the Gemara, Hamani, says the Gemara, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? It's Rav Shimon. It represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's opinion is, Kotshim Shechai B'chuyosan, if, as we learned in the previous year, that if somebody was magdish a behema, there are two ways how to affect such a hegdish. One way of affecting such a hegdish is by saying hare alai. You take it as a responsibility upon yourself. The other way of being magdish something is by saying hare zu. And as the halacha is, the difference between those two ways of being magdish something is, do you remain personally responsible? So here we'll say that he said hare alai, and therefore, since he said hare alai, he remains responsible. So even though he was magdashit, but Rav Shimon is the opinion that holds the dovah hadgarim lamamin, something that can make you financially responsible, is considered as if it's still your money. So here, since the form of hegdish that you made was that you said hare alai, which is kachim shechayim, since it's kachim shechai b'chuyoson, it's still considered yours. And therefore, since it's still considered yours, it's not like a mechira, where when you sell something, the halacha is that you lose all responsibility by taking it out from your rishos. But when you do, whereas when you do tvicha, that even though it's kachim shechai b'chayusam, but at the end of the day, it's no longer here. And since it's no longer here, that's why tvicha is understandable, why it's different if you did tvicha versus mechira. And that's why the Rosh Hashanah explained that the Gemara's question is regarding mechira. But ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that the Tana of our Mishnah, how can we suggest that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rav Shimon? We find at the end of the Mishnah, Rav Shimon teaches us, Rav Shimon, I'm a kachim shechai b'chuyosim, m'shalam tashlim abu v'chamesha, v'she'en chai b'chuyosim potter. Isn't that, says the Gemara, clearly an indication that the ratio, the first part of the Mishnah, is lav Rav Shimon. It's not the opinion of Rav Shimon, because otherwise, why is the Gemara only introducing Rav Shimon at the end of the Mishnah? Elohim ma'askinen. So the Gemara gives a different explanation. We know that there are two types of kachim where somebody can be magdish an animal: kachim kalim, karban shlamim, karban toida, and kachim oil lechatas. And there's a machlokes throughout Shas. What is the status of kachik kalim? Kachik kachim, everybody recognizes, is considered mamon gavoya. It's considered the property of the gavoya. The question is, how do we look at kachim kalim? Do we look at kachim kalim as mamon gavoya, or do we look at kachik kalim as mamon balim? So says the Gemara. The Mishnah we're going to say follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that says kachim kalim mamon balim hu. And therefore, even though you were magdish the animal for kachim kalim, it's not like selling an animal. And therefore, we learned the Masechta Kedushin. According to Rabbi Yossi, one could use kachim kalim to be makadish nisha. And therefore, when you were magdish this animal to be kochim kalim brishusay kaimli. It's still his, and since it's still his, it's not like a mechira where it left your jurisdiction. Says the Gemara, according to this answer, the halacha that was stated in our Mishnah was specifically stated only by kochim kalim. Av kochim kochim. If the ganif, again, since we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan in explaining this Gemara, if the ganif was magdashit as kochi kochim, my what would be the halacha? Then the halacha would be mishalom teshlumi dal v'chamisha. You would have to pay dal v'chamisha because being magdashit would be equivalent to selling it. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, why are the tani reisha? Why did the Mishnah daf ayin omen aleph teach us? That if he did geniva v'tvich and only afterwards he was did the hegdish, mishalom teshlumi dal v'hei, that's when you pay dal v'hei. Because you did the tficha before you were magdashit, the Mishnah could have told us a bigger chiddush. Liftin v'listin b'didah, why couldn't the Mishnah have taught us a bigger chiddush? But medvar mamurim, when is this halacha that if he was magdashit, and then he did the tficha, you don't pay dal v'chei. That's only if you don't pay dal v'chei. That's only if you did kochim kalim. That kochim kalim is mom and balim. Avol kochi kochim. Had you done kochi kochim, misham tashlumi b'am v'chei. Because by doing kochi kochim, you took it out of rishus. And that's considered a act of selling. So why did the Mishnah choose? Why couldn't the Mishnah have given us this answer? So Tosfos Rosh asks a question. Right? Tosfos Rosh asks that maybe the Gemara preferred to talk about only kochim kalim and teach us the difference between if you did the tficha before you were magdashit, or you did the tficha after you were magdashit. So Tosfos Rosh says that type of differentiation is obvious, that if you did tficha before, you wouldn't be chayiv. So that's why the Gemara wouldn't want to say such a teretz. Says the Gemara, because of this question, we must say, loylam loyshna kachu kachim v'loy kachna kachu kalim. We can't differentiate between kachu kachim and kachu kalim. I, or the kashlach, so if that's the case, you're going to ask, mali machar lehedjim, mali machar l'shamayim, why should it not be considered an act of mechira? Says the Gemara, machla hedjit, when you sell an animal to an individual, so mikora, before you sell it, it's known as tura de Ruvain, it belongs to this individual, and now it's hashta, when you sell it, when it's sold to Shimon, it's known as tura de Shimon. However, when you machla shemai, when you were magdashit, so yes, before you were magdashit, it was known as tura de Ruvain, the hashta, but now when you were magdashit, it's still considered Tura de Ruvain. It's called Ruvain's carbon. And since that it's still called Ruvain's carbon, so therefore it's not considered like you sold it. Selling means that your name is no longer attached to it. But when you magdish something, your name is still attached to it. Since when you magdish something, your name is still attached to it, that's why Hegdish is not considered like a sale. So based on this, Tosfos says, a gaval de gavart. He says that there would be a difference if you were magdashit as a carbon or you were magdashit for kedushas by the kabbais. We know when you magdash something, you can be magdashit that the animal should become a carbon, or you can be magdashit that it should become by the kabbais. So Tosfos wants to say that when you are magdash something as a carbon, so it still has your name attached to it. It's the carbon of this individual. But when you give something as a donation to Beit HaKabayis, your name is no longer attached to it. And if that's the case, says Tosfos, that if you were magdashit for Beit HaKabayis, it would be equivalent to selling it. And since it would be equivalent to selling it, then you would have to pay dal v'hei. To which the Rashba asks a question. So if Tosfos is correct, that there's a difference if we were magdish for kedushas mizbeach, where the Gemara's teretz that we just said is applicable, versus if we were magdish for beit kabayis, where the Gemara's teretz is not applicable. So why did the Gemara make that differentiation? So the Rashba says that the usually when somebody is magdish an animal, he's magdish it for kedushas mizbeach. And therefore, the Gemara did not want to start speaking about somebody who was magdish it for bedik abayis. That's one teretz. And Taisus says another teretz that we wanted, the Mishnayis wanted to differentiate within kedushas mizbeach, the different types of kedushas mizbeach, that there's kedushas mizbeach and it depends when you were magdish it before the tficha or after tficha, as we just discussed. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer, kachim shechai b'kriyosan, b'shalom tishlumi abar v'chai, v'she'en echai b'kriyosan, potter. So the Gemara's understanding is what Rav Shimon means to say, that we're not talking about the tficha, because if you were magdish the animal, that the halacha is that it's not, doesn't belong to the owner anymore. And since it doesn't belong to the animal owner anymore, there's no dal v'hei. But if Shimon holds that for the actual fact of being magdishit, yichayv arba v'chamisha, because if Shimon holds that being magdishit is the equivalent to selling it. Ask the Gemara if that's the explanation of the Mishnah. Amri Ned, the sover of Shimon Mali Machal Hedjim Mali Machal Shemayim, Rav Shimon subscribes to the concept with which we began today's shir, that being magdashit is equivalent to selling it, and since being magdashit is equivalent to be selling it, so he should have said just the opposite. Kachim, when you were magdashit by saying haray olai, that you're still responsible, that if something were to happen to this animal, you must replace it. So that's why it's not considered like you were selling it. Because when you sell it, it completely leaves your rishus. And that's why it should be potter. The katil enofik mishusay. But our Mishnah says just the opposite. And by kachim she'enem chayar b'chiyusan, but if you were magdish in a way that you're no longer responsible, so when you're magdishit, you're being completely magdishit, the mafgalem rishusay. So we understand the logic behind what Reb Shimon says, but what we don't understand is what the Mishnah says is Reb Shimon's opinion. It should have, if this is as we just explained, is the basis of Reb Shimon's opinion, so he should have just said the exact opposite, says the Gemara. Because of this, Amri, because of this question, Rav Shimon Amil Sachritakai, we have to say Rav Shimon is referring to another halacha, Vachik Tani. Rav Shimon is referring to the halacha of Agoinef Ach Aganef that we spoke about at the beginning of the perek. And says the Gemara, En Agoinef Ach Aganef Misham Tashlumi Dalei V'Hei, if somebody steals something from a Ganef, the second Ganef doesn't pay Dal V'Hei if he sold it or slaughtered it. The Cain, a going of Hegdish Mabes Balam, and now Rav Shimon tells us another halacha, that if somebody stole an animal which is Hegdish from the owner's home, since the Torah Kedoshah says, V'gunav Mabes Ha'ish, so the Torah is teaching us, V'gunav Mabes Ha'ish, V'loi Mabes Haganav, and therefore in such situation, Ein Hagoinav Ach Haganav, Mitam Tashlume Dal Vehei, the Kena Goinav Hegdish Mibes Abalim Potter. My Tamar, because the Torah Gdosha says of Gunav Mibes Ish, if you steal something from the home of the owner, but not if you steal something from Beis Hegdish. Continues Rav Shimon saying, Koch and Shechai Bechriyuson, if you stole somebody's something which is Hegdish, which belongs to a private individual, chayiv, then you're going to be chayiv for dal v'hei. Why? Because as we keep on repeating in our shir, since when somebody was magdish something in a fashion that he shall still be held responsible, since he'll still be responsible, it's still considered as if it's his. And since it's still considered as if it's his, karina bei mibeis ish, it's considered, the halacha looks at it as if you stole it from private property. Only when you stole kachu, which ain't a chayim b'chayasa and potter, because that is a situation, the like Karina bar, that it's not considered that you stole something from Beis Ha'ish. So the Paiskim, the Rishonim already, used this Gemara to tell us that what's the halacha if you have chametz over Pesach, but the chametz that you have over Pesach is not in your rishus. It's not under your jurisdiction. Will you be chayiv for bayiro or bayimotzer, or will you not be chayiv for bayiro or bayimotzer? So the Rishayim say that the halacha is that any chametz that you chayiv b'chriyusoy, the halacha is you're going to be chayiv bayiro or bayimotzer. And the basis for it is our Gemara. Here in our Gemara, we're saying that since you stole something from the you stole something which the owner still has responsibility for, even though he was already magdish this. It doesn't make a difference. It's considered guna beis ish. Similarly, by chametz, if you stole something that you if you stole chametz from somebody, if somebody owns chametz which he's responsible for, it's considered the guna beis ish, that it's his chametz. Says the Gemara. But ask the Gemara. Michti, we've been learning in our shiurim, the Shemin al Rav Shimon, that the opinion of Rav Shimon is, the Omer, Shechita Shurein Rui Lo Shema Shechita. If somebody does a Shechita that can't lead that this animal should be allowed to be eaten, halachically, that's not considered an act of Shechita. So ask the Gemara, so if you stole Kachim, and then you slaughtered them, Shechita Shurein Ruya, because you're shechting the animal outside of the Azara. And since you're shechting it outside the Azara, so that animal will not be allowed to be eaten. And since you're not going to be allowed to eat it, so shechita shein aruya. And according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, a shechita shein aruya, lo yishma shechita. Answers the Gemara, Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, he said the name of Rav Yochanan, that we're going to have to explain that the case of our Mishnah is talking about a case, b'shoicha tamim b'fnim, l'shem ba'alim. That you shechted the animal in the Beis HaMikdash for the Balaam. And therefore, it's a Shechita Ruya. And that's why Rav Shimon says, Yechayi for the Shechita. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way you shechted, that you took the animal from the owner, you took the animal for the owner, and you shechted it for him, so then the owner accomplished what he needed to accomplish. And the Kesher Mishnah says even more than that. The Kesher Mishnah says you didn't have to have a mind the ganav that you bring the ganav did not have to have a mind that he's bringing it for the owner. It's automatically considered that he's bringing it from for the owner. So if that's the case, Chazur Karen Labalim, you done where I asked the Gemara, Chazur Karen Labalim, you did what the owner needed to do. And if you did what the owner needed to do, why are you considered a ganav? And why would you be chayiv dal behei? Answers the Gemara, it's speaking about a case of Amar Rav Yitzchak, Shenishpach Adam. It's speaking about a case that the blood spilled. So the owner did not get credit. So the way to understand the Gemara is that you do get, the Shechita was a Shechita Ruya, because when you did the Shechita, you did the Shechita with having a mind that the owner will get credit for the carbon, and therefore we could suggest that it's a Shechita Ruya. So then, if that's a Shechita Ruya and the owner gets the credit, why should you be Chayv Dal V'Hei? Because the owner ended up not getting the credit. Because the blood, the main kapara of a carbon, comes through the Zrikas Adam. And here, by the time you did the Zrikas Adam, the blood was spilled and you couldn't do it. So there's a very interesting tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. Your day is Simen Shin Hei. And actually, the Pesachei Tshuva discusses this. He speaks about a time where somebody, in those times, especially in certain communities, it wasn't that when there were a number of people who had to say Kaddish, they all said Kaddish. The Kaddishim were divided, the Kaddishim were divided amongst the Chiyuvim. And somebody went and took a Kaddish that wasn't supposed to be his. Somebody else was supposed to say that Kaddish. And he said the Kaddish. And the question is, what happens? He deprived that person of that Kaddish. So the Chasam Sofer uses our Gemara as a raya. What did we just learn in our Gemara? That if the Ganif brought the carbon on behalf of somebody else, the halacha is that that person who he stole the animal from, and we quoted a few minutes ago, he didn't even have to have explicit kavana that he's bringing for that person. As long as he didn't have the opposite, that person gets the credit. Here too, if somebody says the Kaddish that he wasn't supposed to say, the Kaddish was supposed to be said by someone else, he will get the person who was supposed to get the credit, the halach will get the credit. And in fact, the Stechemid uses this Chasam Sofer to discuss another situation. He said that, let's say somebody in the same year lost his father and mother, Rachman al-Tzlan, and he's saying Kaddish for both of them, even if he didn't have in mind that he's saying Kaddish for both of them, even if he had in mind that he's only saying Kaddish for his father, or he's only saying Kaddish for his mother, since this Kaddish belongs to both of them, it automatically happens that way. Says the Gemara, Rav Oven gives a different teretz to Rav Yochanan's question, why is this not considered a shechita shena ruya? Says the Gemara, Ka'asa Rav Oven Amar Rav Yochanan, b'shoichet tmim b'fnim, shloi l'shem ba'alim. That the halacha is, as the Gemara teaches us, at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, by many kabbonis, if a carbon was brought shloi l'shem ba'alim, not in mind of the owner, the halacha is that the carbon is kosher, it's mutar b'achila, but the owners don't get credit for the carbon that they were supposed to bring. As the Mishnah says, kol hazvachim shenizbechu shloi l'shman k'sherim, es shloi olu l'ba'alim l'shem shchita. So therefore, it's considered a shchita ruya, but you have to pay dal v'hei because the owner who you stole the animal from is going to have to bring another carbon, because since it wasn't brought in for him, it's not considered that he was yoytz to the chiyev carbon, and that's why you still have to pay the dal v'hei. So we have here now two different terutzim how to understand the Mishnah. So Tosfos and the Rashba, of course, point out why does each one of these terutzim don't accept the other teretz. Ravin doesn't like the teretz the Rav Dimi gave, because as we just explained, Rav Dimi teretz has to be that was Nishpach Adam. And there's no indication in our Mishnah that it was Nishpach Adam. On the other hand, Rav Dimi doesn't like Rav Yochanan's teretz. The reason Rav Dimi doesn't like Rav Yochanan's teretz, because as we just said a moment ago, based on the Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim, not by all kabbonis is the halacha that you get credit that the carbon is kosher el shalolu balam by sham chayva. By carbon chattis, for example, by carbon pesach, for example, the carbon is entirely possible. Our Mishnah Gemara has not differentiated between different types of kabbonis, but the teretz of Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan is only valid by certain kabbonis where halacha is shloi olu l'balam l'shem chayva. That's why the Gemara preferred not to, that's why they didn't like to say that teretz. Rish Lakish gives a third teretz why this is not considered a shechita shena ruya. Rish Lakish Amar b'shoich balam mum b'chutz. The animal was a balam mum, and the ganef shechted it chutz lazara. But the halacha is you're allowed to shecht it chutz lazara, because at this point, the halacha is that the animal is not a kosher carbon. It's a baal mum, and such an animal could be shechted chutz lazara. Says the Gemara, tied by Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar asked, the Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, shechita materis, we're calling it the shechita ruya. But ask the Gemara, why is that considered a shechita ruya? V'lo yuzrika materis. And as long as the zrika wasn't done properly, as we said, because the blood spilled out, the halacha is that that's not a shechita ruya. So we're trying to figure out why this is considered a shchita ruya, but it's not a shchita haruya because it was shechted without a proper zrika. Tayber Rav Elazar, l'Rav Yochanan, shchita mataris v'lo zrika mataris. And Rish Lakish mataris that we just learned, shchita mataris, the halacha is, does the shchita make a mutter? V'lo b'diyah mataris. It was the b'diyah that you had to be paid to this animal. Says the Gemara, Ishtamitzei had Rav Shimon. They forgot what Rav Shimon said, that if the shchita was done properly, even though the zrika was not done properly, since the shchita was done properly, there's a rule kolayim lizer kazaruk dami. Furthermore, as we asked on Reish Lakish's teretz, there was no pinyon, and if there was no pinyon, so the shchita alone, even though it's about mum chutz lazara, should be meaningless. Reb Shlokish subscribes to the Gemara says that halacha is kala oimid liftois, something that's supposed to be nifta, something that's supposed to be redeemed. The halacha looks at it kipadi dami. The halacha looks at it as if that was done already. So says the Gemara, where do we know these principles from? The kalayim elizrik kazaruk dami, the kalayim eliftis kapadi dami. Says the Gemara, the halacha of kalayim elizrik kazaruk dami, we learn the Tanya based on a brisa that speaks about tumas eichlam. Shimon Eimer, yesh noiser, you could have a carbon that became osir ba'achila ba'noa if it was left past the time that it was supposed to be eaten. And the halacha is that even though it was left past the time in which it may be eaten, it's still considered an oichel, and that the halacha is that it's subject to tumas oichel, that for example, if a sheretz will touch it, it will be tamei, and somebody else will touch it afterwards, that person will become tamei. V'yesh noiser, on the other hand, there are cases of noiser, she'eda b'tamei tumas oichel. And the braisa explains itself. Ketzat, long lefnei zrika, if before you zid the zrika sadam, which has to be done by day, the halacha is if the zrika sadam was not done before the shkia, the zrika is, that carbon can never have a proper zrika, the halacha is, ein matam tamas eichlin. However, if it became lach zrika, if it became tamei after the zrika was done, but tamas Tumas Eichlam. Since at one point the carbon was slaughtered properly, the shechita was done properly, the zrika was done properly, so that carbon became an Eichel. Once the carbon became an Eichel, even though afterwards there was a disqualification, it became nicer, the halacha is it's subject to Tumas Eichlam. Mai and Kaimelon, and explaining this brisa, says the Gemara, what does it mean, lifnei zrika? When Rav Shimon says lifnei zrika, it means koidim shenira lezrika, that there was never a possibility, and the Gemara will explain that in a second, for it to have zrika. And that type of a carbon is not subject to tumas eichlin. But when we spoke about l'ach zrika, it doesn't mean that there was an actual zrika. As long as this carbon could have had a zrika, that's enough that it should have a din of tumas eichlin, even though it never had a proper zrika. And the Gemara explains itself. Kodim shenir lezrika lon, what does it mean that it became nicer before it had the zrika? To lahav shas b'yom lemizrakei. There was never an option to do zrika on this carbon because the carbon was slaughtered samach l'shkia sechama, right before the shkia. And as we said a moment ago, zrika can never be done after shkia, and therefore eimet tamet tumas eichlim, it's not subject to tumas eichlim. What does the mil achshanik zrika lon means? Explains the Gemara. Davishas b'yom lemizrakei. This carbon, there was enough time between the shkita that you could still have done the zrika before shkia, and such a carbon is b'tamet tumas eichlim. Why? It never had zrika. If it never had zrika, it never became a good carbon. If it never became a good carbon, why should it be subject to tumas eichlin? What do we see from here? That kol oimel izrik, as long as the animal could have had Zerika, the halacha views it kezorik dami, as if it's considered zorik. There's an interesting tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Meratz. He discusses where Reuven said that he's going, after he sells his house, he's going to give him a certain amount of money. And instead of selling the house, he was magdish the house. Will he be obligated to fulfill his obligation? The Kehillas Yaakov brings this question, and he says our Gemara should be answering that question, because one of the most important principles that we've discussed over and over in our shiur today is Mali Machra Lehegdish, Mali Machra Lehegdish, Mali Machra Lehegdish. So if he would be obligated to give the money if he sold it, the Gemara is saying that it would be different, but that if you magdish it, it's equivalent to selling it. But then I saw there are different tshuvas, because we learned, we quoted a Tosfos, that there might be a difference if you were magdish it for a carbon, that's considered an act like a mechira, versus if you were magdish lebedek abayis. When you sold it, or you were magdish it for a beis haknesses, so that's hegdish bedek abayis. And if, as we quoted in our shiur, there may be a difference in halacha between you were magdish it lehegdish, magdish it for bedek abayis, or you were magdish it lemizbeach, and maybe when you're magdish it for bedek abayis, we don't say this halacha, then the halacha is that maybe under those circumstances, it's not considered equivalent to a sale. And since it's not considered equivalent to a sale, the obligation you took upon yourself that you would give somebody a certain amount of money would not be a requirement.